Welcome to WTBU News Today. I'm Sebastian Jaramillo. Boston had some gloomy weather yesterday, with cloudy skies and a low of 47 degrees. Do not despair, however, as today will be mostly sunny with a high of 67 and a low of 48. This week is going to be a mix of all kinds of weather as Boston decides whether it will have mercy on the freshmen and give them either partly sunny skies or partly cloudy skies and even some showers, with the incoming doom of winter. Now we'll move into the Boston University COVID-19 dashboard update. On October 1st, three members of the Boston University community tested positive for COVID-19. Two of them were students and one of them was an employee. On average, BU's lab took 17.7 hours to process each test, which is an incredible improvement from previous weeks, where the average number of hours was more than twice that. This week saw yet another stretch of three consecutive days where no students tested positive for the coronavirus. This is the second week in a row that this previously unseen occurrence takes place. As students go into their second month of the semester, hopefully positive tests will significantly decrease. In total, 129 members of the BU community have tested positive for this fall. 12 students are currently in isolation and 84 students have recovered from the disease. Elaine Backus is here now with an update on the latest COVID-19 compliance report.
Friday's COVID-19 compliance report revealed that the most persistent issue with noncompliance is the daily attestation. This week, 8,541 warnings were issued to students who did not report their daily symptoms. 132 warnings were issued to students failing to comply with their testing schedule, a decrease from last week's 614. This week's report included a new figure. 245 students have had their BU IDs and Wi-Fi deactivated due to repeated noncompliance. There were 11 reports of noncompliance with masks and 8 reports of students not social distancing in public. There have been 3 guest violations and 2 violations of isolation or quarantine housing. There have been 13 off-campus and 4 on-campus gatherings without masks, excluding the party on West Campus last weekend. However, no students were reported to have been disciplined. This was also true in last week's report when 19 off-campus and 2 on-campus gatherings did not result in disciplinary action. Judy Platt, the Director of Student Health Services, expressed concern over parties in Wednesday's weekly COVID-19 update. She said it can take up to 2 weeks to know the impact of a party due to COVID-19's long incubation period. On Wednesday, Boston was reclassified as a red zone in the state's COVID-19 map. Mayor Marty Walsh noted that they are seeing small outbreaks due to parties and that half of the city's recent cases are among those under 29. The mayor condemned partying, calling it irresponsible. However, he did acknowledge that although universities do play a factor, cases are increasing outside of college communities. In Hingham, Massachusetts, this is Elaine Backus for WTBU News.
Joining us now is Melissa Ellen with a development on the religious community of New England.
Three Catholic churches in Holyoke are joining spaces to hold services in one parish, according to the Roman Catholic Diocese of Springfield. Immaculate Conception, Our Lady Guadalupe, and St. Jerome Catholic has formed the Catholic Collaborative of Holyoke. The churches themselves are not merging into one organization, but they are taking this time amid the pandemic to work together. Conversations amongst the churches resulted in the shared space, and communications are continuing. The first joint ceremony will be held this weekend. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Melissa Ellen for WTBU News.
And now we'll head over to Sophie Jin for a story on President Donald Trump's health.
President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump have tested positive for the coronavirus, Trump announced on Twitter late Thursday. According to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, Trump was showing mild symptoms of the coronavirus. There is a likely chance he was contaminated by Hope Hicks, one of his top aides who also tested positive on Thursday. Trump has been accused of downplaying the virus and even ridiculed Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden for wearing a mask frequently during Tuesday's presidential debate. It is still unclear how this will impact the next presidential debate, which was set to be held in Miami on October 15th. Both the President and the First Lady are currently quarantining in the White House. In Boston, Massachusetts, I'm Sophie Jin for WTBU News.
Next, a story regarding the impact of Trump's positive coronavirus test on the campaign trail. President Donald Trump's positive coronavirus test has shaken up the presidential race. The second presidential debate was scheduled to take place in Miami, Florida on October 15th, but now these and other campaign events remain uncertain. The contrast between Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden will be seen in the following weeks as the two will trade places on the campaign trail. Biden, 77, who tested negative for the coronavirus on Friday, hours before Trump's positive test, has been mostly unseen on the campaign trail and has mostly been photographed while wearing a mask. He has also only been holding small rallies, safety precautions which Trump ridiculed in the first presidential debate in Ohio. But now Trump, 74, will have to refrain from large rallies and overt campaigning, while Biden is being encouraged to do exactly the opposite and go on the offensive, that is, while still being respectful for the president's condition. Senator Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's vice presidential pick for the 2016 election, said that this development does not mean that Biden's campaign would go into a hiatus. Kaine told the New York Times that since this was the last stretch of the campaign, Biden would have to be aggressively campaigning. Finally, an update from Aaron Michael about the death of a Russian journalist.
Russian news editor Irina Slavina has died after setting herself on fire in front of the Russian Interior Ministry building in Nizhny Novgorod. She was the editor-in-chief of a small online news site called Koza Press. The news website went down on Friday after Slavina's death was confirmed. Earlier in a Facebook post, she said to her followers that they should blame the Russian Federation for her death. According to authorities, her body was found with severe burns. Slavina's death comes after police raided her flat on Thursday. The police were looking for any materials related to the pro-democracy group Open Russia. Footage has been released of Slavina setting herself on fire and of a man trying to put out the fire. The footage shows her pushing him away and then shortly after falling to the ground. An investigative committee confirmed that Irina Slavina died, however they denied any connections between her death and the search of her flat on Thursday. In Rochester, New York, I'm Aaron Michael for WTBU News.
That's it for this edition of WTBU News Today. Be sure to tune in to our full program every Tuesday and Thursday at 6 p.m. East over on WTBU Radio. On behalf of Gabriela Lopez, Evan Jimenez, Alex Corey, Grace Ferguson, and Stella Lawrence, I'm Sebastian Jaramillo, reporting from Miami, Florida for WTBU News.